You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, Red vs. Blue fans. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Red vs. Blue After Show. We are looking at Season 15, Episodes 9 through 12, and we'll see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Never too late to start over.
Yeah, sorry about that live stream issue, but we're here, we're doing the thing, it's great. As you may have noticed, there are two of us tonight. I have the wonderful Mark Donica.
And I have the wonderful Katie Cullen.
I was expecting you to do the full intro.
Yeah, but I wanted to just tag you back immediately. Okay. I'm Ian, it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica, and our group Twitter is ABTV Rooster Team. That's where you can find all of our updates, including a recent update about the return of the Camp Camp After Show, our RTX activities, and more. Head over to our YouTube channel at ABTV Rooster Team. Cue that up. Watch it after this show. Back to you, Katie.
And you can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Megan isn't here tonight. I think she went out to get food.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen her in a little while.
I think her GPS got controlled by Vic, and as a result, she's being driven all over the gaff when it comes to downtown Los Angeles.
Well, I went straight for the murder room reference, but yours is a little nicer.
That's me, dude.
You can follow her on the social medias at The Menguin, T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. And like we said at the opening, Red vs. Blue, Season 15, Episodes 9 through 12, Rigged, Battle Scars, Belly of the Beast, and Blue vs. Red. I had a really hard time rewatching these episodes today.
Oh, I saw.
Yeah.
I
made a lot of noises on Twitter for those of you who follow me.
It's really weird how we got this collection of episodes, or this whole season of Red vs. Blue so far has really been an amalgamation of everything.
It has.
Like the fact that we're getting the intense story stuff with Project Freelancer, as well as the silly antics of the Reds and Blues and the Blues and Reds, and some legitimately evil people. And excuse my cough, I'm getting over it. I've got lozenges, but I'm making do. But yeah, these episodes were nuts.
I think this is the first time we've gone into full-on horror movie territory. And I mean, we kind of got a little hint at it with episode 7 because LOL Deadite Cam, but this was some terrifying serial killer stuff.
Yeah, really gross.
Like, holy cow.
Are we going to go beat by beat, or are we going to talk about the murder room,
Let's knock out Rigged. I don't think a lot happened during that. There were definitely some salient points, but it was more of a chill episode. I think the biggest part of that is Temple sowing distrust of Dylan in Tucker.
Yeah.
She knew about this. She knew about that. She knew about the mercenary. She didn't tell you anything. Ooh, you can't trust the press. And I'm like, oh God, hashtag fake news.
And this one's, everything's melting together, even though I watched them again today. But this was the one also where we got Doc revealed to be on all sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I've known these guys for years. They were the originals, and you're the not originals. Like, what?
I mean, we talked about Linorama with Joe, the last after show, but they're the ding-dongs, you're the dildos. How does it work? That's just absolutely ridiculous.
I'm sure there are knockoff ding-dongs, but I don't know what they're called. Cream-filled cakes, probably.
I mean, maybe it's a takeoff of Bimbo? Bimbo, whatever. Either way, that one, it's one of those Red vs. Blue lines that just stands out.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was also the away mission where everybody goes, except, and they leave Dylan and Jax behind.
They're on a don't need to know basis.
Mm-hmm. It's stupid.
And we have most everyone talking with their doubles. And Simmons, I'm nothing like him. Oh, friend.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's something I noticed with without going too far into sponsored first territory, but when Surge and Sarge are talking, they're having a great back and forth. They're having their own Surge Sargeisms back and forth. And then when the idea of an orange one comes up,
you're
better off without an orange one. And Surge just stops completely. Well,
when Megan and I watched episode 10, and we have the reaction videos up on my YouTube channel, this one was almost an hour long because I have a lot of feelings. She predicted that their orange person, their Griff, was killed somehow, and that's what sent Temple and presumably everyone else, because presumably everyone's in on it, and that's that question answered, off the deep end.
I guess we'll never know.
You should get a first membership.
Yeah, they're free for the first 30 days, you guys.
Actually,
plug.
Well, no, but also RTX time. If you're not a first member, RTX time is a perfect time to get a first membership, because there's going to be a lot of stuff debuting. So.
And Megan's in chat. Hi, feel free to say that. Pick up the.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because you called it, so.
But that's dangerous. She's in traffic.
She probably parked at this point. Or traffic on the 405 is just that bad. Regional humor. Yeah, so we had a few salient points in Rigged, but Battle Scars is, I need to stop asking for things.
Because what did you ask for?
More wash.
Yeah, well,
Because I have a character bias, and he was pretty much not in the previous season. I'm like, you know what? I'd love more freelancer stuff. I miss Wash. I want more Wash. It's like, hey, we have a whole episode.
Die God. With your happiness.
Yeah, well.
I hope you learned a lesson about wanting things.
Did you tell Joe that you, I mean, I know that this stuff was already in the can already, but did you tell Joe that you wanted more Wash?
Not specifically, remember. No, but okay. It's not something I've been shy about saying everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone knows I have a bias. I don't admit that. That's fairly common knowledge if you watch any of my Red versus Blue shows. Yeah, so we have Agent Illinois, his shack, basically. His
sweet retirement shack.
Oh, my God, yes. The dude's living the dream.
The weirdest thing to me...
He basically found Space Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. The weird thing to me... is that what we find out later is, despite, like, cool, this is it, looking at Project Freelancer as just a job and looking past that, bro was still in his armor. Like, that's a little weird. Now, you could make...
He may not have still been in his armor. He may have just had his armor with him, and then when Temple and company came to find him, said, suit up, we need you.
Oh, maybe that. Maybe. Okay,
I can see that. Because the armor lock technology, my theory is that it is location specific and only works in that room.
He had a bottle of rum and was pointing accusingly like, hey, get off my property.
Why wouldn't you bring a bottle of rum? I think he was offering a drink.
Yeah, like, I guess we'll never know.
And either which way.
Because he dead. Very dead.
Jason Potter in chat says, don't feel bad, Katie. I asked for more Carolina and I got the same thing you did.
Well,
yeah.
Sweet, sweet hand holding.
And we got... The lines that I love for this, and I'm closing live chat to pull up... We're moving off of live chat to pull up my notes, because I did a lot of writing for this. I wrote, it's never too early to start over again, says Agent Second Chances Washington. Because if anyone's gotten more second chances than he ever deserved, it's that guy.
Yeah, he's literally the worst at first chances. Ever, of all time.
He's only alive because the people he was trying to kill showed him mercy and adopted him.
Yeah.
Like, things could have gone so much worse for him. So, hey, I believe in second chances. I believe it's never too late to start over, says the guy who did the thing.
He's a freelancer.
And has lived it and knows that.
He's a freelancer pound puppy. That's what he is.
He kind of is. Take him home. He's sad and alone and needs hugs.
I mean, I try to stay away from ships and ship names, but is it really called Car Wash?
Yes.
That's... All right.
I'm drawing the line in the sand here. I don't ship it. You can be really good friends with people and not be romantically entangled, and that is 100% what I read this as, is two survivors.
Yeah, and the hand-holding doesn't necessarily suggest a romantic relationship. It's intimacy, and it's intimate, but it's not necessarily romantic intimacy. It's
exactly.
Just we've been through so much shit together, and we're alive. Let's keep being alive the best way that we can. So.
And I love Carolina trying to work through this and being like, I want to be a different person. I went from a dishonorable killing machine to an honorable killing machine. Talking a little later in the episode about, can we resolve this without murdering people? And then getting stuck in a murder room.
But she's her, like, I'm going to murder so many people.
But 10 months of downtime has done her good, I think.
Yeah. I mean, being around those crazy people can change you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just like having some time where there's no big threat on the horizon and you can chill, and her trying to learn how to chill and just.
What is chill? Teach me how to chill.
I can try. No, you've already failed. But yeah, just her fighting so hard to get the information out. Be like, we can do this without killing anyone.
Didn't really play their hand too close to the chest when it came to the temple reveal, but at what point, not necessarily in this episode, was it confirmed for you, like, ah, damn it, they're evil? Was it the beacon, or was it earlier?
Lair,
yeah. Well, that's so after they find them. So when they get back to
it. That was the moment of, okay. But,
even that for me,
suspected for a while.
Oh, sure.
We both did.
That was one of those moments where I was hoping it was just him being an idiot, because he's an idiot. Now, like, with the reveal of the, oh yes, totally evil, you didn't need a lair bit. You didn't need a lair bit.
Rex the X1 says, hello and welcome to the murder room. Did I mention that I'm evil? And for me, that is the ghost face reveal. That is the rip off the mask and chew the scenery monologue. And I usually love ghost face reveals. They are usually so much fun in terms of writing and in terms of acting.
But? Like,
oh God, this hurt. I usually don't care about Scream characters as much as I care about Red versus Blue characters.
But these are freelancers we've never met.
I watch Scream to watch teenagers getting murdered. Okay. I care about Sydney. And that's it. And this is like, we just put Sydney in a murder room. Bye. Like, what?
No.
What? No.
All right.
No. We had a ghost face reveal and a saw trap, but like a later saw trap when they started making them inescapable. Mm-hmm. And this, I kind of want to sink my teeth into this episode because I'm not sure how I feel about it. And I think that's because we don't have the rest of the season. We don't have the whole story yet. Because the way that things are playing out, with Tucker being completely willing to believe Temple, even though we just had Felix less than a year ago.
I mean, not the post...
At the point of this particular episode.
Well, no, I mean, I would say that the... Like, Carolina going to suggest a peaceful resolution, and Temple being so like, no, we gotta do it. That probably was the turning point of, or put the little thing in the back of his head, like Temple was trying to be the positive. It showed the little devil as well.
But then we have the next episode of, they went out for food. Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
So my issue with this is, either we have a really good Xanatos gambit on the part of our protagonists going on that we don't have all the pieces for, that Temple and company are being played, that Wash and Carolina were able to modify the armor so that it wasn't taken in by the armor lock, and they're acting for the sake of being able to get out later and find things. Like, either we have that and there is something more going on beneath the surface, or we have two highly trained and extremely paranoid soldiers letting a complete stranger with a weapon at their back, not leaving what is a murder room, not recognizing the smell of death off the bat. Like, we have a lot of really, really bad decisions that don't fit any of these characters. And so I worry about this. Part of me is like, nah, I'm going to give the show some credit. And the other part of me is like, I know what the production schedule of this show does to this show, because it was the same thing as season 12, Felix stabbing Carolina in the leg, because we needed it to happen and we didn't have time for a second draft. And I'm worried that that's kind of where we are with this episode and this setup. And that's because we don't have the bigger picture. We don't have the rest of the season. We don't know how it's turning out yet.
Well, even right now, we haven't seen them since.
Going crazy.
No, jeez. But as you mentioned, these are two highly capable people who already know how to deal with the technological ins and outs of their armor. So I don't think for a second that they're still there. Door closed, and they're like, all right, does anybody still have their armor abilities that we can utilize? Because we gotta rescue everybody and get the hell out of here. And I figure they're doing recon. Despite the implication that Carolina might be, quote, slipping and going for more of a peaceful resolution instead of being the badass that we. I can't wait to talk about episode 13, but one of the single most badass things that has ever happened in a Red versus Blue episode. Holy crap that Carolina does. Anyway, regardless, that aside.
Sponsor territory.
See you in 4 weeks. But,
tune in next month.
Or see you at RTX. We'll probably talk about it then. But there's nothing that leads me to believe that she doesn't have a strategy already.
That's part of what I want to believe. But again, I'm on the other side of, we know what the production schedule does to the show. Mm-hmm. Like, it's possible that we need these pieces in place, and this was all the time that we had for it.
Well, it going on.
So, I don't know which one to believe right now, so I'm a little like, okay, how is this
going
to play out?
Well, going to that thing, why did the flashback episode have to be two parts? Or however many parts it may be. So, like, it could have been a thing where it's like, let's drag out this flashback so that we have, so we, one, make people go crazy about the security of our characters.
Which, success.
Yeah, it's working, you did it! And so, like, now it's a sense of what are we going to see at the Red vs. Blue panel, or what are we even going to see on Sunday? Like,
true.
This next coming Sunday for first members.
True.
There is so much of the show that anything can still happen.
And we're at probably the midway point at this point.
Didn't he say how many episodes there were?
I don't remember, but we usually have anywhere between 20 and 24, and we just hit 12. So we're at the midway point. We're there.
I figure we're well into Act 2 at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Asia in chat says, the season is all about playing with expectations and has done so pretty successfully so far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just on tenterhooks because this is the third time in this series we've had Schrodinger's wash, and I'm not sure how much more of this I can take.
There have been two washes? No.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. a real wash and a fake one.
A wash and a dry.
Boom! I have to represent Megan.
Hush, I'm amazing. Let's move on from the murder room, which those of you who follow my Twitter saw my crack about. Allow me to show you my murder room is in my notes, and just, dear God. And the comment about the record for staying alive is 8 days and 11 hours, and I had people point this out to me on Twitter a couple of days after the episode aired, and I believe Malachroma pointed it out in chat a little while ago. Season 8, episode 11 was when the concept of armor lock was introduced into the series.
Say that last part again.
Season 8, episode 11 was when the concept of armor lock was first introduced into the series.
God, I hate them sometimes.
Because that was right after the Epsilon Tex battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Callbacks. And we also have the Laser Team 2. Those are just titles, and I don't think that last one exists.
Yeah.
Like, Joe has no shame, and it's kind of amazing. So before I lose my mind, let's move on from the murder room. And talk a little bit. I really liked Belly of the Beast. I liked getting back to Dylan again. I've missed her.
Yo, very much so. Oh, like, this whole, like, it was weird going so many episodes without anything. Even just going, yeah, she's here somewhere. This, I thought, was her season.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, to go so long. And yet, and despite saying that, this one being so heavy on her and Jax, also being so Red versus Blue, essentially getting an in-story PSA from Sarge doing all of his auditions was...
I wonder what he meant by pick one. And then it just wound up being this insane mashup. And I think I lost it when we went into the Independence Day one.
Yeah.
And then just, like, it was incredible. And even Jax just being like, oh God, I have to keep the charade going. Oh God. Okay, let's try some improv.
And despite while that's going on, of course Dylan is getting all of her data, and we get the reveal that a lot of people have been pointing out, that Vic was in fact the AI that she was talking about.
Yeah.
So happy.
And Megan and I talked about this in our reaction, and Malachroma brought it up in chat. How many times do you think that's been the second time that Vic has helped her? Probably like the 15th.
Yeah.
If he can't remember what time he's on, 2. is a good medium. And I'm sure that's been the second time and will continue to be the second time until the season is over.
Oh, yeah. I don't think, even then, I don't think this will be the last of Vic. I think he's going to go full crazy and he'll be the villain for season 16. Why not? Crazy prediction. I've been crazy this entire show. But
talk about chewing the scenery.
Well, the fact that it's beyond interesting that the layers of Bernie keep getting more
Bernieception.
Yeah, Bernieception. Onion or parfait pick. But the fact that on the computer Vic goes, "It's me," and then we hear Church.
We hear the message that they receive.
But it's also, if it's Vic, how does that work? Bernie also voices Vic, and it's just like a weird, what is there another part of Epsilon that was the original Vic?
Or it's a dumb AI that is essentially reskin yourself, or very broken dumb AI, maybe another version of Vic, maybe another something, but... What I figured was that it was essentially a dumb AI given this data and told, make this message. Do this. Be this.
Maybe.
Or like it's something that they managed to get from one of the freelancer bases that they found. Because they did find that freelancer base.
I thought it was more than... It seemed like more than one. They at least found multiple caches.
That's true. They found the mother of invention. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if they found others.
Yeah. I've always loved Vic, and the fact that we get him back has been an absolute delight. But Sarge isn't dumb enough to see three of his new compatriots holding up Jax at gunpoint and not thinking that there's something up.
Yeah, was it Sarge in that room or was it Serge?
No, Sarge doing the auditions.
Oh, yes.
That is, but it was Serge holding up, like, the three of them.
That's true.
Jax, tell us where she is right now. And he's not that dumb. I think it's another thing about the freelancers, too. He's not that dumb to not go, hey, we should probably load up.
And we have that bit in episode 9, just that throwaway line about, oh, Sarge is already one of us. I mean, he's acclimating well. Mm. So they've kind of adopted him, but yeah, he's not an idiot.
No. And if anything, his military tactics will take over. And Temple is still a dirty blue. So you never trust a dirty blue.
This is very true. Mm-hmm. And everyone has blue visors, so there's also that. Yeah, it's just, thank goodness for the blue visor switch. Like, for the audience, it's just like, visual shorthand. Hallelujah.
And we also got, speaking of the, like, going back a little bit, we have Loco being a genius, but still having the same personality traits of being more of a babbling idiot as opposed to a regular idiot.
I don't think he's a genius. I think he's a savant. Like, okay. He's very, very good at just the one thing for some reason, and then nothing else.
Or maybe it's simply Caboose is really strong. He's really smart.
Could be.
And a little bit more than... Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, like, I really do think that it's just being a mechanical savant, because the flip side of that is, I'll build it and it'll be great and you'll be my best friend, right? Mm-hmm. So we still have that, and we do have someone setting us up the bomb, which, great. Throwback. Knew that wasn't a freaking shield generator, called it.
Charlotte and Jocelyn in chat, if this was a prototype Blood Gulch, it would make sense if that they would have a Vic as well to be command.
This is true.
Yeah, they had copies of everybody. They had different versions of everybody. And everybody had Doc. Doc gets around. Why not?
Bow Chica?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened to Freckles? That's a good point.
He's guarding the base.
That's right. No, he's with Griff still.
Yeah. Oh, God. Think of those conversations.
I think we're going to see it.
I'd be down.
No. Well, I mean,
I'd be down.
We gotta...
It's predictions territory, but there's no way Griff's not coming back this season.
I guess it's kind of a spoiler, but Jeff already confirmed it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff confirmed that.
Wasn't
he did
on
more.
Another...
Well, no, he just on a Let's Play, he was like, and it was like weeks after, like the record date was after the leaving episode, and they would have been recording forward. So we're going to, in one way or another, we're going to get Griff before the end of the season.
Well, and, you know, story also dictates.
So. That too. Yeah.
All of it, all of the things. But yeah, let's talk about our flashback episode, which Blue versus Red, which at this point we can kind of assume is Blue versus Red Part 1, because that wasn't the whole story.
No.
That was not the whole story. But it's more Blood Gulch shenanigans, but we get to meet their Griff.
I mean, you say more, but it's still the same. Like, I half expected to be the I like to kiss all the boys. Like, I expected a version of that monologue to come out of Biff's mouth. But it's also weird. The command for the blue team seems to be the same, but Biff being the opposite of Griff is more gung-ho of being in command. He still wants to be discharged, and he's still trying to get discharged and get away, but it's a lot more honorable. And no offense, Griff, but
he's got a reason.
Yeah, he's got a little bit more reasonable of a reason.
Then again, Griff was drafted and had a sister back home that he raised and needed to take care of.
I was going to say then Vanilla Griff before we got the proper story behind him, but
yeah, this is true. But yeah, I think the big difference here and the big difference in the wow, I just completely lost that word, dynamic, that was it, is that we have Temple and Biff being lifelong friends. They grew up together, they went to school together, they enlisted together, like they were a team, and Freelancer split them up because that's what you do when you're the counselor and you're an awful human being.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll bet that was the counselor doing that when doing teams and
like
90. Pretty sure it was the counselor doing that.
No, I'm pretty sure. Because in one of the episodes of season 14, wasn't it with all of the interviews of the folks? Didn't they send all of those files to the counselor?
I think so.
I think I remember seeing the counselor in an episode with some like Halo 1 models. Ugh, there's so much of the show.
We have 15 seasons of canon. What are we doing with our lives?
I mean, you know, you remember a lot more than I do, and I went back and watched at least the RVBX a little bit more recently, and I'm still just like, when did this happen? It's like a fever dream at this point. It's like, was I in a high speed chase on a freeway?
Did that happen? When did this occur? I don't know.
Oh, my leg does hurt. It was from that. That's what it was from. Yeah.
But and we have Biff wanting to go on, I wrote medical leave, and that's not the correct term, but medical discharge.
Discharge.
He wants to go home because he has a very serious girlfriend, and he's well aware that what they're doing is just some bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, this is the same stuff with the same people. I want to go home. I want to get out of here. And Temple just, I wouldn't do that to you. Don't leave me here alone with these guys.
It's very selfish. Despite like
extremely selfish motivations.
And it's it's
on one hand I get it, because Biff is probably the only reason he's managed to stay sane in this canyon. But on the other hand, yeah, he's got a reason to go home, and that he needs to go home for this person that he's in a very serious relationship with. And it's not like they're on the front lines fighting the Covenant.
No. Like, and they never, like, I wonder in terms of lining up with the original Blood Gulch story. Well, I mean, next episode. I wonder where this Test Gulch lines up with our folks, you know?
We did have Doc saying that these guys were the originals.
These were the originals, yeah.
I know, it all just kind of... I rewatched all of the episodes today, and so it's like, part of me's like, they're fresh, and the other part of me is like, I ripped my heart open again.
Yeah. But then you have to wonder how long it took for... how much did the Mother of Invention, did Project Freelancer... stay in that gulch while still operating that one, or what? Like, now that you've introduced this, like, back into the original timeline,
I would imagine that they had all sorts of different blood gulches and whatnot, and had all sorts of different agents running ops in there, because that was the point of the Reds and Blues to begin with, is that they were training for freelancers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would imagine that a lot of that was just stuff that happened off screen. We saw some of them in season 14. And admittedly, 14 was just a fun way to play around with everyone's AUs, and it was great. But we did see a lot of those other Blood Gulches, a lot of those other red and blue teams. Mm-hmm. So odds are they had freelancers come in. They were basically there to be in a stalemate until a freelancer came in to do what the heck ever. That was the purpose of this entire operation, and it got these subpar soldiers out of general UNSC enlistment, where on the front lines they would be cannon fodder at best and lead to team killing and other deaths at worst.
Yeah.
So it's this horrifying symbiotic relationship that kind of makes sense, because these idiots are less likely to die in a fight against each other than a fight against the Covenant, but that doesn't make anything better.
No.
Nothing's good in war, you guys. Nothing.
What is it good
it
for?
It all sucks.
They wrote a song about it. Several songs, actually.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, take your pick. Yeah, like...
And Megan just says, timelines and RVB. Yeah, yeah.
We're currently in the darkest timeline. And that's like... They released the book before, like, mucking with everything. Now it's like, oh, we're going to get another Red versus Blue book, probably. But the thing about, like... I don't want to say that this was a skippable episode, but this is such a familiar episode that it was hard to take in any new information until the last scene.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, we got a lot of just fun red and blue shenanigans and surrenders and, oh, the robot's just ahead right now and just all of that usual stuff. But I do think that it was the friendship between Temple and Biff that really laid things for Temple's character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we no longer have Biff around. Temple is accusing Carolina of her doing something specifically to them. And
I wonder if we'll ever find out.
And Temple is axe crazy for the entire freaking program. So here we're kind of seeing this is the friendship. This is the reason that losing their Griff XP in particular would drive them crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not an outlandish prediction. I mean, he's there in the flashbacks. He ain't there now.
Something happens.
Carolina stands accused. Something happened.
Something happened. I guess it's one of those things of it being a two-part episode. And
yeah.
How much of the story do you leave open? How much do you put in one episode as opposed to the other? So again, once we get full picture and the entire season, it'll probably be a little bit more, at least for me, a little bit more palatable.
This is our episode establishing familiarity. This is our base. Okay, we're familiar with the red versus blue shenanigans. We have this. Okay, here's our new characters. Here's how the dynamic is different. So we have the stuff we're used to. We have the slight changes, and that sets us up for whatever's going to happen next episode. So I feel like this may not have been the biggest, most dynamic episode ever, but we need it to create a solid base so that the next episode can build on it.
Yeah, yeah. But we're
making our scaffolding.
That's the thing, is if they... I guess it makes sense. I understand you establish how these two bases are similar, and then here's this very different thing. But I guess it was the similar thing that got me caught up in a same old sort of vibe. But
possibly, yeah. Malachroma in chat saying, it's a good hint that Temple was always kind of a short-sighted dick, even after whatever happened to make him murder happy.
Yeah, small dick.
Yay!
So, but yeah, I'm needless to say, excited for the next episode.
Episodes.
Grabs it and throws it anyway, but yeah, no, this was a solid set of four. This whole season so far has been really phenomenal, and the team, they probably are, but they should be proud of themselves, because if you watch Red versus Blue like seasons 1, 2, 3 and just fell off, this is a, like I said about last season, just because it's everywhere. If last season you could pull a couple of shorts and be like, that's Red versus Blue now. And then this is the definite no. This is Red versus Blue now. This is everything.
With the exception of serial killer territory, because that's new uncharted waters, and I'm terrified.
All of the death.
Pretty much.
Yeah. We essentially did...
Death for days.
Did you have any other predictions, or are we going to skip them? Because, like, we've been just talking about them throughout the show.
I mean, essentially, as far as predictions go, yeah, we can see that Biff is basically living his flashback life on the chopping block because he's not here now. Mm-hmm. We have the, are they really stuck in there or are they not? We just don't know. We're back in Schrodinger's Wash territory.
Have you trapped them in there or are you trapped in there with them?
Mmm. For every other freelancer, it's you've trapped them in there.
Yeah, they
for
did.
For these two and for... Because this is the point where I spool back and be like, I am a huge red versus blue nerd. Wash has Epsilon's memories. Epsilon had all of Alpha's data. That would include the freelancer armor. There's no way he doesn't know his way around that armor. We got that with the disabling and re-enabling of the recovery beacons. So yeah, it could well be that they were able to disable whatever would have been receptive to armor lock.
And
when I'm a huge nerd for this show, y'all.
But also, just to put it in another way, when have freelancers ever showed their entire hand? When have they ever gone, this is everything that we're thinking of? Plan accordingly. Like, no, there's always an extra step.
There's a York joke in here somewhere, but he's super dead.
Yeah.
So
we don't talk about the dead ones because they're dead. Get it? Anyway.
Except we really are talking about them now, especially York.
Shoot.
Yeah. And we bring it back around to dying and pain and agony and...
and my night ahead.
Oh, friend.
Anyway.
This would normally be the point where I would segue into iTunes. I checked. There's nothing new.
You monsters.
Dang it. I was going to be like all nice and optimistic, and then you did that.
I do.
And then you did that.
And then I do things.
You do. You do things. Anyway, regardless, thank you to everyone who's left a review on iTunes. I know we've been going for like 4 years at this point. We've been 3 years. We've been running this particular after show for, I want to say, 3 years.
Since season 13?
Halfway
13?
Through season 13
was when
we started. Because recovering eight episodes in an hour was definitely a thing that occurred. But yeah, thank you to everyone who's left a review. If you want to support the show, if you want to keep us in the studio as hosts, the best thing you can do is go on to iTunes. This is not my sign off.
Yeah, we're not signing off yet.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, we're getting there. Hold on.
Give us a few. We're almost there.
Young Skywalker.
Is to go on to iTunes, search for the podcast, subscribe, leave us a rating, leave us a review. If you leave a review, you do get a shout out on the show. We read those because we adore you. Our producers do check those reviews. They see that, hey, people like this show. Let's keep it going.
We do. I'm one of those people.
Yes. Yes, he is. And also, if you leave us a high ranking, it helps people find us easier in iTunes chat when they search AfterBuzz, when they search Red versus Blue, all of that fun stuff. It bumps us up a little more in the search results so people can find the podcast easier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we bring you a ton of content and then you guys help other people find that content. And it's just this wonderful loop and we all adore each other.
So in lieu of iTunes shout outs, I'm going to shout out a couple of people in chat. Asia246222, Rex the X1, the Xehanorto, Malachroma, Lone Wolf 4299, Jay Silver, Jeff2886, Beast Wars Fan, Hero75, Megan Salinas, if I'm saying that right. I'm looking for more people. Caitlin Geddes, Jason Potter, Charlotte and Jocelyn.
Someone in chat way back at the beginning did say that this was their first time catching us live. So hello. If you're still in chat, remind us who you are. We love you.
Also, that might have been the other chat.
That's also very true. It was the other chat.
Lego Master 121, Michael Kunde, Joseph Saborin. If I missed you, don't think you're not accounted for. So just this, we love talking to the chat during the show. So please, if you're listening to this after the fact, join us live. But because we air every 4 weeks or so, make sure to follow us on Twitter and social medias and all of that stuff, just so that you can know when we're going to be going live.
And also, if you put things in the hashtag, we do check the hashtag between shows. We see things. We like doing conversations. It's wonderful. But we have one more announcement to make, I think, though everyone already knows it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We're going to be at RTX, y'all.
Yes.
We have a panel on, I believe, Friday at 2:30.
Friday at 2:30.
And we know it's concurrent with the Ruby panel. Like, we're aware of this fact. If you do want to do the Ruby panel, if you don't want to wait for the sponsor one, we completely understand. But if you want to sneak in for the latter half of our panel, because we also have special guests.
Yes. But
that'd
also
be super great.
But also, if you are not going to RTX, the Ruby panel, we can guarantee you, because we've been there, there will be stuff that they cut off the stream for. If you want an entire stream, watch us instead.
We confirm that it will be streamed live. So, mm-hmm. Yes, that will be a thing.
And we've already confirmed Jen Brown. Jen Brown has already confirmed voice of Pyrrha Carolina. She's just
everyone.
A delight.
Shannon McCormick.
And we'll confirm Shannon McCormick because he's at the absolute best. I'll wait on the last one because I'm about 95% sure. But yes. Yeah, I mean, actually, it's probably already listed on the app.
Actually, it's not.
Oh, no? Good.
It's the five of us on the app. And yes, the five of us, the four people you normally see, and also Stacy, who you normally see when one of the four people is missing.
Yeah, our key.
She's great.
Our key replacement, yeah. And so we're going to be at RTX, and then next week is the return of the Camp Camp AfterBuzz TV After Show. It is going to be late because Wednesdays have gotten really busy. It's going to be Wednesday at 10 p.m. We're going to work on a different time for the next After Show, but for next week, it is going to be at 10 p.m. It's going to be myself, Patrick, Stacy, and a new member of the Rooster Team. You're very familiar with this gentleman, Andrew Mena, who is a wonderful human being. If you watch the Samurai Jack After Show, he is going to be a part of that too. Also, something else that's not necessarily Rooster Teeth related, but this is a similar audience. If you like anime, we're doing a Little Witch Academia show, and that's going to be starting this coming Monday. We don't have a time yet, but follow me on Twitter, @MRPDonica, for more information on that. Do you have any more announcements?
It looks like Jay Silver and Charlotte and Jocelyn were the first timers in the chat, so hello!
Hi, welcome.
And
please,
yes,
come
that
back.
Is the, all of these times are in Pacific time because this is how we live our lives, except for the 2:30 panel, which is in Texas time because that's how we're going to be living our lives next week.
Yeah, Central. So that means
2 hours.
Yeah, 3:30 East Coast time and 12:30 Pacific Coast time.
Yes.
For all your men.
Because those are the ones that matter. Mountain never gets listed. I lived in Mountain time zone for years and I can never figure out when TV shows were on.
And for those of you wondering, we are going to be bringing back camp activities for Camp Camp, and if these first three have any indicator, we're gonna have some fun this season.
So yeah, join us for that panel at RTX if you're gonna be there. Megan and I will also be on the RT Reactors panel Saturday at noon, so that's going to be a blast and a half. Please join us for both. It'll be super fun. In the meantime, you can follow us on the social medias. Mark?
You can follow our group at ABTV Rooster Team. That is where you can get all of our updates about where we're going to be at RTX, about all of our shows, about any sort of updates, and we retweet stuff from our hosts as well. So if you're not following any of those people, you're weird. But we're all weird. And then you can follow me on my personal Twitter @MarkBDonica. I got a lot of stuff here at AfterBuzz TV. It's mostly wrestling, animation, and then on the Popcorn Talk Network, I host our Star Wars show, Jedi Alliance, as well as Video Game Movie Anatomy, which is going under a bit of a transformation, so stay tuned. It may have a completely new name. Katie.
Dang. You can follow Megan at TheMenguin, TheMenguin, across multiple social media platforms.
She's outside!
She is! She's not coming in!
No.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet, that is KIAXET. If you would like to see Megan and I react to most Rooster Teeth content, because that's what we do now, those all live on that YouTube channel. Turn After Show is Tuesdays at 8. I keep calling it Red versus Blue, and it's not. Robots in Disguise is Tuesdays at 7. And we have a special Attack on Titan episode this Monday at 8 p.m. We're doing a series summary with two very special guests, so you should tune in for that. I am also a regular on Geek and Sundry's Gather Your Party on Friday nights. This week it's at 7 p.m. Next week is moving to 9:30 because we're all crazy people and it's wonderful. And I'm a co-host on Silver Screams on YouTube, which talks about horror stuff. You should check it out. It is great. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see some of you at RTX, and we'll see the rest of you in 4 weeks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
No!
Nope.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.